Let's do this. It's a Tuesday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for a Tuesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, AJ Hoffman, the role model, Aaron Rabold, the Voldemort. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, send a message. If Aaron likes it, he'll read it. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R.
Does he not read the ones he doesn't like, or he just doesn't read them on the air?
He doesn't read them on the air.
Okay.
He'll read it. Doesn't mean he's going to do it.
Yeah.
But Twitter's at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real. At Aaron is Blitz, Dad Degenerates 975. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. And it's a Tuesday, but for me, it's a Friday, so.
Friday.
Bring all your hatred. I don't care.
Good for you.
Yeah. What's going on, man?
Sports, stuff like that. What's going on with you, man?
Lots of sports.
Lots of sports.
Yeah.
Sports match games.
Before we get started, though, Luis, who's a longtime listener. He wanted to shout out today
Luis?
For his triplets who are being delivered today, so he can't listen. He's going to listen later on the podcast.
That poor soul.
Congratulations, I think.
Did he triplets. Say congratulations for triplets?
Well.
My goodness. That just seems like a It seems like a mistake.
So, where do we start with this game last night? So many things.
Well, let's see. I guess the takeaway is I feel like if you said rank the Warriors have to win three games in a row to win the series, what's the toughest one to win? It was last night.
Yeah,
right?
It's always, especially on the road. And
on the road.
And I think there's an advantage to the team that was down 3-1 when you win that game, because now you're going home. You should win that and force a game seven. Now the other guys are going to be tight as hell because they're thinking, and because that's what happened to the Warriors.
And if there is a game seven, there's a team who's played pressure moments, and then there's a team who's played fewer pressure moments.
Yeah.
So I think the Warriors, if they've got a chance in this series, I mean, they probably got the toughest step out of the way last. Now, that doesn't mean that it's going to happen, but they're definitely alive.
Yeah. I still...
There is a little added drama with the Kevin Durant thing.
Yeah, I think, and they really rallied around that last night, which I think helped them. But you know what? If he doesn't play the 12 minutes he played and hit those three-pointers and score 11 points, they don't win that game.
Probably not.
And, you know, so, and I think, I mean, there's so much about that too. Do you think he was misdiagnosed? Because
I can't imagine.
Yeah, he was modern medicine. You shouldn't make those kind of mistakes.
I mean, how many, it couldn't just be like a first opinion. I mean, it had to be like multiple doctors looking at him.
You would think, but if it was already an Achilles in the first place.
I'm still not certain it's an Achilles, because he was walking around in a boot last night. And I mean, he was limping, but I've never torn an Achilles, knock on wood. But everyone who's I've been around says it is, I mean, it's debilitating. There's no like getting up and walking it off.
I mean, that's the most common one, the really bad one. Like, guys just collapse, like Deontay Foreman when he had his. But there are some that aren't as bad. Maybe that's what it is.
I don't know.
But I think I give him credit for trying to go out there. And especially with potential free agency looming. And if it isn't Achilles and he's not playing next year, I think somebody will still pay him.
Well, you know who will still pay him? The team that he's got a player option with.
Yeah. You know, the Knicks or somebody like that will still throw a ton of money at
him. They might.
Because they're the Knicks. That's what they do.
I mean, that's going to be their option. You could say, well, we can either throw the moon at him, or we can just assume that he's going to stay with the Warriors and, you know, go another year without.
Well, and that's the thing. Let them pay him for that year that he's not playing. But I thought it was, you know, good on him going out there, because how often do you hear people say, oh, no, you got to worry about your future. Don't want to risk things. Guy's out there trying to win a championship. Build his legacy some more. That's what you're supposed to do. And it's a shame he got hurt. But let's not start crying for a guy who's got a $31 million option for next season. Come on, GM.
I get it. Yeah, he's got money to make, but he's got a $31.5 million insurance policy for next season. So it wasn't like, oh, I'm worried about my future, because the future, if let's say worst case scenario and it's a torn Achilles, he's still going to make $31.5 million next year. He'll come back at some point next year. And then he'll get a mega. He'll sign a max contract in the next offseason.
Same deal he was going to get this year.
Yeah, it's not like suddenly after a year off and resting that injury that suddenly people are going to assume that Kevin Durant's not a max player anymore. Somebody will pay him a max deal. That's just that's the business.
Yeah. Well, I thought that was a little bit of an overreaction. Yeah. That's all. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. I enjoyed the game itself, though. I thought it was pretty well played. You had some drama. I thought Steph and Thompson hitting the threes there when they're down
six.
They
were huge.
And then I thought we saw a coach choke last night, calling a timeout while his team was on a run and then not calling a timeout to set up a last play.
Yeah,
and we talk about this all the time, that players choke sometimes. Well, sometimes coaches do too, and I just thought I was baffled by that. So,
well, I was impressed that they were able to kind of fight through what they had going wrong, and obviously, I think it's been talked about enough, but kind of lame. You wouldn't expect I didn't expect Raptors fans to be like that. You never know how you're going to act until you're that close to a championship.
And listen, there are turd fans in every fan base.
Yeah.
This one...
they were very vocal last night.
There were a lot of turd fans, especially in the front row, that were waving goodbye and stuff like that. But, before we start casting aspersions, let's remember the Warriors had a guy push a player. And their fans all claim that James Harden was making up his eye injury.
Yeah.
That there are idiot fans in every fan base. I really respect what the players did. And there were also other fans telling him to stop.
Yeah.
And then they did give him a really good ovation on the way out. But, yeah, it was chicken bleep. It's not something you want to see.
Yep.
713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Yeah, people mentioning how Schaub was treated here in Houston. There's a fan base out there, a group of fans in every fan base that are just bad people. Just like there's a group of people in every form of life that are bad people.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, those are the ones that get the most attention. There's more of the good people. There really is. There's more good fans than bad fans, except for some places. Let's be honest, there's some places that are just really bad fans. But no matter what you're a fan of, listen, I've seen people at UH games do stuff that made me cringe.
Yeah.
It's just, and it's a small group, but this group was pretty obvious because they were on TV and you could see them. Wow. And I think that's pretty classless because your first, he's out. Ooh, we're going to win. Well, you didn't.
You didn't.
So... some karma there.
Not a great look, but kudos to the Raptors players who kind of shut it down. I don't know. It's like you said. There's a bad element in every fan base. It was a shame to see last night. But yeah.
And people, I'll throw this out there about my good friends to the north, because I know a lot of them, and I have family up there. For as much as they're, we're so nice and we're so polite, when it comes to sports, they can get pretty stupid. And I'll tell you, you remember what happened after they lost the Stanley Cup in Vancouver? They rioted like a bunch of idiots. And so they get too caught up in this national pride thing, and they do dumb stuff. And that was dumb last night. And I condemn thee.
Yeah.
Whoever you were, sir, standing up and waving, I condemn thee, sir. So... yeah, there's no place for that kind of stuff.
No. I do think that, as far as the series itself goes, well, first of all, one thing that's kind of gotten overlooked in all of this, Kyle Lowry, with one of the worst shot attempts ever. I thought, I kept thinking,
well,
maybe
Draymond was, did get the ball.
Did he?
Yeah.
I tried to watch it. I couldn't see him hit the ball.
Yeah, he got the ball.
Okay, well, then I'll give him a little bit of a break.
Yeah, because when I saw that, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So I went and watched
it. That's your last shot? That's the best you could do?
Why aren't you calling time out there when you couldn't get the initial play?
And why'd you take a three?
Well, you didn't need a three. And I get that they were going to take, well, I'm going to give the Warriors some credit for defense. They were going to take Kawhi out of the play. They weren't going to let him take the shot, no matter what. So somebody else was going to have to do it. But why not call timeout and set that up? Give me a better play than that. I mean, that was just, you know, and you know, if you get that opportunity, you got plenty of time on the clock. Get your best shot. That's not the shot you want to win a championship.
Nope.
And I don't think it was going in anyway because it was Kyle Lowry. But Green did get a hand on it. I saw a really good picture of it earlier today, too. So yeah, he actually affected it more than you would think. So,
all right. I'll give him
and
a break then.
Draymond Green is good at defense.
He's all right.
That's a pretty damn good play to get over. He closed a lot of ground to do that. So
Draymond Green being like deciding that he wasn't going to bitch at refs and complain about calls anymore.
That lasted what?
Like a week, if that.
Yeah. And he wound up with another technical. But I'm excited. I think we're going to see at least one more really good game, probably two.
Yep.
And I'm all for it. I'm all about that. I'm also all about Innovative Lasers of Houston. And if you want to get some weight off for the summer, maybe you're walking around out there and going, oh, man, it's hot. I'm a little too heavy here. Well, Innovative Lasers of Houston can help. And I know maybe you don't have time to get to the gym. Maybe you have one problem area like I had. Didn't matter what I did. I couldn't get the weight off my stomach. Well, guess what? It's real simple. You're going to go lie down. They're going to shine a red light on you. You're going to turn over. They're going to shine a red light on your back. And boom, 3 to 11 inches in 2 weeks, gone. And they've got a great deal for you. Be one of the first 100 to call 281-888-3094. That's 281-888-3094. And mention ESPN 97.5 or me. You're going to get 70% off. That's right. 3 free sessions and 50% off regular price. That'll add up to 70%. Take advantage of this offer. There's no painful procedures. No downtime. They basically shrink the fat cells. And you get the same effects you would get if you were working out. You can get more energy. You can change your life. Give them a call, 281-888-3094. That's 281-888-3094. Mention ESPN 97.5 to get that special offer. You can also go to InnovativeLasersOfHouston.com. Set up your consultation. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything to find out what they're about. See what they can do for you. InnovativeLasersOfHouston.com, 281-888-3094.
This is the Blitz. The Blitz on ESPN.
ESPN
97.5.
I've been waking up throughout the night. My mind just chasing the truth.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. So, everybody asking, are you going to talk about the U.S. women scoring 13 goals in soccer today?
No.
Why not? You should do that.
The U.S. women's team scored 13 goals today?
Apparently, against Thailand.
Cool.
Yeah.
Ooh. You talked about it.
We just talked about it.
Check.
Yep.
It's funny, though, when I got up this morning, when I turned on the TV, it had the Women's World Cup on.
Okay.
Because last night, I guess I was watching some poker or something on that channel. And I'm about to turn it. And what do I hear? Glenn Davis.
Okay.
Doing the TV call of, I think it was New Zealand and somebody, Netherlands.
Okay.
And so that's my soccer experience for the day. I got to listen to Glenn for a little bit because he's so good at that. He's by far the best one on there.
I wanted to have Glenn on. At some point, I know Glenn wanted to talk about what's going on out there and try to make something happen. I don't know if we've maybe we can get him on today at some point.
Yeah, it's funny though because all these women on the national team, it's the same ones that every 4 years we start talking about. Oh, it was Alex Morgan Hutt, and then she disappears for 3 years.
Yeah,
that's how it kind of works. And no, I don't think so. But Hope Solo's not there. I noticed that. They kicked her off. Probably because of those pictures.
I don't know.
Those were pretty gross. That's it. That's all I know about it. Yeah. I mean, I saw a couple minutes of it, and it was 3-0 at halftime, and apparently they scored 10 goals in the second half.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I want to watch a 13-0 soccer game about as much as I want to watch a 0-0 soccer game.
Well, and they were...
I'll pass on
some
both.
Of the commentary was about how almost all the games had been 0-0 until the end. Like that, I just can't wait to watch games like that. But listen, you know, if you're into it, great. Like, if you've got a daughter who plays, that's awesome. You guys watch it together.
Yep.
I'm totally cool with that. But, you know, it's hard for me to get worked up and get excited about Men's World Cup. So I'm supposed to be all into this?
Yeah.
And no, it's just not something I'm all that interested in, never have been. But, yeah, I watched a little bit of it, and I saw 3 goals. So
all right.
I missed out on the other 10. But they were supposed to crush this team. They were talking before the game, like, what would be a good score line? And like one of them was like 6-0 would be a good score line. So I guess I did better than that. So that's all the insight I got.
Yeah, I got nothing. I got definitely nothing more than that.
Well, that's it. We talked about the finals and we talked about the soccer.
All right, let's take the rest of the day off.
All right, good. Gone. Done. Oh, boy. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Your boy Bill O'Brien addressed the media today at minicamp.
Yeah. Doesn't want to talk about Brian Gaine, huh?
Nope.
And then still doesn't want to talk about Brian Gaine. Then doesn't want to talk about Brian Gaine some more. Then threatens to leave if people keep asking him about Brian Gaine. And then gets asked an innocuous question by some chucko about wide receivers. And
yeah,
now all of a sudden he's like, oh, yeah, you know what? So suddenly he's engaged. Jerry Bow was telling me about he was out there, but very unsurprising from Bill O'Brien. Salty, salty, salty.
Yeah.
A guy who, if you ask him an innocuous question about wide receivers a week from now, he's going to be like, you know, we had some guys who look good. We have some guys who, you know, need to get better. He would give some stupid answer, and all of a sudden he's really engaged this week because he doesn't want to talk about something else more.
Yeah, apparently.
He's the most unlikable coach.
He really is. In all of Houston,
it's all
for sure.
It's all the smugness of Belichick. Without any of the success that comes along with it. Like, and when Popovich is on the sidelines and he's like a douchebag to the reporter and, you know, it's like, okay, well, you can do that because...
You're Greg Popovich.
Got 4 championships. When Bill Belichick, you got rings. I mean, you can do those things.
Plus, I kind of always got the impression Popovich kind of does that almost as a bit.
Maybe.
Because a lot of times, because he's a very thoughtful guy. And you can ask him questions, and sometimes he'll get like this, but for the most part, I've heard him deal with questions in post-game press conferences and even things that were clearly would irritate a lot of guys.
Yeah.
So I think Pop is a little different that way. Plus, I just say Pop's smarter than this guy.
Yeah.
And he's just such a dickweed. I think that's all I can say about him. So Cody went out there, and he has a story up on SportsMap. And so we remember the statement that Cal McNair gave when he iced Brian Gaine. Apparently, these are all questions that were asked of O'Brien today. And in each one, he referred to the statement as the answer. So there was a report your relationship with Brian Gaine eroded. Is that true? Look at the statement. Do you believe Brian Gaine needed to be fired to move this organization forward? Well, I would refer you back to Cal's statement. What changed in your relationship with Brian Gaine when you were working with him? Guess what?
Refer to the statement.
Yep. Were you worried about losing your job based on this evaluation? Statement. It says, Texans won 11 games, won the division, and hosted a playoff game. Why do you think there is so much change after that? Maybe because you got your ass kicked in the playoffs. And he was asked, had he talked with this Nick Caserio guy that apparently everybody thinks is Jesus? And you say, I would say the answer to that is no. Relative to contact about anything having to do with the Houston Texans, no.
not my job to do that.
Yeah, no, it's not, apparently. And he also said, man of high character, great family man, and good football person was his only comments about game.
He's only the coach. He doesn't really know.
This guy, I mean, I'm not asking you to, you don't have to, because look, the media asks some stupid questions sometimes. But you know when you come out, you're going to have to answer this.
Yeah.
Especially if you're one of you and Brutus and Cassius all had your knives in him, you're going to have to answer for it.
Yep.
And, you know, there's a million ways you can do it. But the whole response is basically, you're a bunch of idiots, so people don't need to know.
Right.
I'm right about everything. So.
But it's unsurprising.
No, I mean, but this is what he does. This is what he does. He's done this all, you know, and that's why, I mean, I can't imagine anybody actually likes this dude. Anybody. And Patrick Creighton had a pretty good column over the weekend about how he's chasing off almost everybody over there. At one point, I just think he's going to piss off Cal McNair.
Probably.
Well, let's see you go out and win some meaningful games this year. Oh. You do that, and then you can talk a little crap. You beat the Saints on opening night. You actually beat the Colts in the playoffs. Get to an AFC championship game, and then you can sit here and be all the a-hole you want. You know?
Andy, but that won't happen, and he'll still be an a-hole next year.
I know, and he'll still act like he knows more than everybody, although there'll be at least three or four teams in the AFC that know more than him.
Exactly.
Because that's what happens every year. All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. And it is a Tuesday. Guys are usually in a bad mood. It's actually, I don't know if you got out like early this morning. It was nice out for up until about 9 o'clock. Now it's hotter than the sun again.
The good news is I was outside until about 9 o'clock, and then I was inside and I haven't left.
Well, you're good then.
Actually, that's not true. I went and picked up lunch at Big City Wings.
Ooh, two for Tuesday.
Two for Tuesday.
Yeah. I had...
it's like 20 wings for 12 bucks. Come on.
You can't beat that.
No.
That's what I had for dinner Sunday night. I had Uber Eats bring me some Big City Wings.
I don't trust Uber Eats.
Yeah. My problem is... Like on nights like that where I can't really leave the house, it's easier for me to order it and just have them bring it than.
I mean, it's definitely easier. I can't do it.
Well, I don't order milkshakes for them to drink or anything.
Yeah.
And I haven't had any problems yet with my food.
They probably ate a wing here or there. That's what they do.
No, because I know exactly how many I ordered.
Or they touch it.
It didn't look open to me. And I don't do it for a lot. I only do it for stuff like, because like, it's probably, even though it's like physically close, the way Houston's set up, it's like a 15-20 minute drive to go out there and get them. So why not have somebody else do that?
Yeah.
That way I can just sit at home and drink. 713-780-ESPN. Somebody asks, I wonder if AJ's kids played soccer, if he'd be into soccer.
I mean, they've got the option to play soccer. They don't have any interest in it.
Choose on playing a real sport.
Yeah. They like to play sports.
Yeah, my kids played soccer. They weren't good at it. Neither one of them. Katie might have been. Well, when Will was bigger than every other kid, so he'd just run over him. But he wasn't good at it.
Yeah.
I mean, he was good at running over people, just not playing soccer. And for some reason, my kids were always, and part of it was their fault because they weren't good, but they were always on the team that was getting beat 8-0. And every other team had like one little kid who would just zip in between everybody and score a goal every single time. They never played on a team that had that kid. So when they got a goal, it was a miracle.
That's always.
And so, yeah. And maybe if they'd been better, I would be into it. But no, they pretty much sucked.
I've never liked soccer. And in fact, I tried to play my, I didn't try to play. My mom signed me up for soccer when I was young, like 6 or 7.
Yeah.
And I had to miss a baseball practice to play a soccer game. And I told my parents, I don't want to play soccer anymore. And that was the end of my soccer career.
Yeah, well, when I was growing up, because we're going way back now, there wasn't soccer. We didn't have the choice to play soccer. That kind of came after I was out of high school. Yeah.
Yeah.
You could play football, baseball, basketball, or run track. And the really dorky kids played tennis. We had that too. I think that's about all we had, though.
Yeah.
We did not have soccer in Lamarck.
I'm surprised tennis isn't more of a popular sport.
Well,
like I'm saying, like with athletes, like I'm surprised more athletes don't grow up wanting to play tennis. It's an individual sport. It takes good athleticism. I guess maybe it's because like the players aren't stars, like they, at least in America, aren't stars.
I was a huge tennis fan growing up because that was John McEnroe and Jimmy Connors and all these personalities, and they seemed larger than life. And I really enjoyed it. But then
I used to love playing tennis.
Yeah, I do too. It's really good exercise too.
Why I don't play anymore.
Well, I wanted
really good exercise. Yeah,
I'm trying to find something to get into, but it's like we're talking about the other day. I can't serve the ball anymore because my shoulders are just a mess. I got one hanging on by a thread, and now the good one's hurting all the time. You know, it just happens when you get old. But I enjoy, like, I'll watch Serena Williams in a big tournament anytime she's on.
Yeah,
and I watched some of it this weekend. I'm not as into it though as I was. Or something about McEnroe just screaming at everybody that made it fun. I loved rooting for that guy. He was such a total a-hole, and yet I wanted him to win every match. And I really enjoyed. Yeah, there was the fact that he was left-handed, and just there were all these little things that were fun. But that was a long time ago, and it just doesn't. I don't know that anybody's captured me the same way. I guess, you know, Agassi was probably pretty big. That'd have been more your time, right? Growing up.
Agassi, Sampras.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were like the big ones. My favorite was Stefan Edberg.
Yeah.
I liked him.
But do you think that's an Americanized thing, though? Because you look at guys like Federer and Nadal. I mean, they're every bit as more successful than some of the guys we're talking about. And do they really have that kind of, would you say, on the fame meter?
Not in America.
No.
That's what I'm saying.
No.
Yeah. And in America, it's not the case.
Yeah. So, but I don't know why it's not. So it says tennis is that country club sport like golf, not quite the financial barrier to entry, though. I don't think it is. They play it at country clubs. And in the movies, it's kind of shown as country clubs.
But, I mean, there's tennis courts everywhere.
And it is pretty cheap. Because we played all the time, too, when we were growing up, because it didn't cost that. Of course, there were crappy ass wooden rackets, but there wasn't a lot of cost to it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know that there's enough room, even in a country of 330 million people, for every sport to have these breakout followings.
Yeah.
Like when Tiger happened to golf. Well, there's room for that, but is there room for that?
But I mean, if Serena, what she's done, hasn't made tennis a breakout sport.
Yeah.
Like, even for women,
yeah,
it's just not going to break out.
No.
You know, it is what it is.
So, but I like watching Serena. I think she's fantastic.
She's just really good at what she does.
But I'm not as interested in the men right now. I mean, as good as Nadal is, as good as Federer is, I don't have to watch them.
No.
But 713-780-ESPN. I actually, somebody says I prefer racquetball to tennis. I love racquetball. I just can't find a place to play it anymore.
It is kind of going away, huh?
Yeah. Well, like there's two of the places that I go.
They turn them into like a
CrossFit.
Dance fitness classrooms.
Yeah, they turn them into CrossFit things, which, hey, I'm sure that's more popular for them.
Yeah.
But ATX says, this era of men's tennis is amazing. It may not chart here like the age of American tennis, Sampras for her, but the era is historic. And I don't think most people realize that in America. I don't know. I kind of feel like I don't have a great idea about what people are going to latch onto anymore.
Yeah.
It's because there's certain things that just blow up and you're like, really? And then
like esports.
Yeah.
Massive. Yeah.
But see, I get that because
I don't.
Well, here's how I'll put it to you. And I'm admittedly a dork, but I will sit there and watch other people play poker on TV all night long. And I enjoy it. I enjoy the strategy behind it. I try to pick up things from it. And to me, that, I think that's what you're doing when people are watching these esports.
I guess so.
It's just a different game. And so I get it, and I see why people are into it. It's just, you know, I don't, as much as I will watch other people play poker, I'm not going to watch other people play NHL 19. I'm just going to go play it myself.
Right.
But there's money involved in poker for me, and I think there's money involved for some of these kids now.
Also, especially now that the online era's gone, poker's not something that you can just do by yourself. Or, you know, it's not as accessible as,
right,
say, a video game where everyone has access to it.
Right, right.
So, if you want to play video games, just play video games. My brother watches video game guys.
But he picks up strategy from them and stuff, right?
I don't know. I don't know that he even plays some of these games. He watches.
Well, these kids today. But I totally get why people are into it, because I'd be really hypocritical if I were to say, oh, I can't believe they do that, when I probably watched 2 hours of Poker After Dark last night after the game.
So. Oh, yeah, I can't do that.
Yeah,
so. All right, guys, if you own your home and you'd like some money in your pocket, say like $870, listen up. TGS is trying to hook you up. It used to take forever to get a good home insurance quote. TGS has made it really simple. They built a great system that gives you a quote in just 15 seconds using nothing but your address. Grab your phone, text the word money to 232323. The system will ask for your address. You reply back with that. You'll get a full quote and excellent coverage within 15 seconds. This company, these savings are legit. I mentioned that $870. That's what the average customer is saving this year on their home insurance. You can't beat that. Their online rating is nearly perfect. These guys know what they're doing. You don't even need to wait till your renewal, because TGS is going to call the old guys. They're going to take care of all the back end, the hassle, the nonsense, the paperwork, so you can free your mind and fatten your wallet. One more time, text the word money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote and start saving now. Just like the presidential Michigan, my wheels doing it with purpose, yet and still it feels so accidental. Started as a friend's boy, turned into a damn boy. It was just supposed to be a quickie before I left. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. The name of the game. Football! 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 You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Join A.J. and fill in the blank at Big City Wings spring location this Friday from 4 to 7. Come enjoy some of their limited-time menu items like their honey bun burger and sour cream and onion wings. They'll be out there Friday, 4 to 7, at Big City Wings spring location. All right, I was mentioning this when the show started, but when I woke up and turned on my TV this morning, it was on Women's World Cup, and I heard the voice doing it, and it's, holy bleep, that's Glenn Davis, who's the best in the business, and he's doing Women's World Cup. U.S. women played today. He was doing New Zealand and the Netherlands. What's up, Glenn?
Fred, AJ, how are you guys?
We're doing well. Someone asked if we were going to talk about the Women's World Cup, and I said, you know, I thought about getting a hold of Glenn, and you know, I guess now we are talking about it. I'm a little bit meh on what I saw today. 13-0 makes me just feel like this is it's not a competitive tournament, and I don't know, because I don't know enough. But I mean, was this just a case of a really good team against a really bad team? Does this ever happen in the Men's World Cup that there are games that are 13-0?
No. So what happened today? You're taking a bad sample size. Thailand's one of the, let's say, emerging programs in this. Actually, the story of this World Cup is that the gap has narrowed with a lot of countries. Not in this case today. Countries like Argentina, who got an upset win over Australia. Countries like, that was Italy, who got the upset win over Australia. Countries like Argentina that held the better opponents to draw. So we're seeing countries like Argentina, Chile. These teams are now adopting the soccer cultures of these great soccer-playing nations. There's more investment, and the gap is narrowing. So that's the worst score line today. I think everybody expected it. It's kind of one you had to walk away from at one point, honestly.
So, Glenn, when you talk about the gaps kind of closing, why is it that we're just now seeing traditional soccer countries like Brazil and France be successful in the women's game when obviously they have been for a long time in the men's game?
Yeah, culture, investment in it, acceptance of women in sports. I remember watching France 4 or 5 years ago, and I just said to myself, my God, I mean, these women technically are great. When they bridge the athletic gap, watch out. So this is the most competitive World Cup ever. It will be. It's no shoo-in that the United States is going to win this, despite what everybody saw today. It was a feel-good. These countries are investing. When brands like Juventus in Italy, Roma in Italy, AC Milan in Italy, Barcelona, Real Madrid in Spain, Monterrey in Mexico, Tigres in Mexico, when they start investing in the women's game and they're drawing crowds of 25 and 30,000 because of the strength of their brand, rest assured, this World Cup is going to get harder and harder to win, and that's what you want. You want it to be more competitive worldwide, because that was the hope after the women won the 99 World Cup was, how will we spike the rest of the world? And that's exactly what's happened.
Well, I'll take you back to 99, because I know you recently did an anniversary with those guys, right, when you were out in California, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, I was calling a national team game against Belgium, and they assembled that whole team there, which was really remarkable.
Yeah, and that did spark a lot of youth soccer, especially for girls in the United States. Have they sustained that kind of momentum that they created?
They've sustained that momentum when the national team plays and when there's Olympics and World Cups. That momentum has not trickled into the professional league, which is a highly competitive league with, by the way, all these players. So Sam Kerr, who's one of the great strikers in the world who plays for Australia a couple of weeks ago, was in Houston playing against the Houston Dash. There wasn't a mention of it anywhere. And she's playing in front of 900, 1,000 people, scores 2 goals, they win. And she's one of the most talked-about stars globally ahead of this World Cup. But we didn't even know she came in Houston and left Houston.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that, because don't they really, in terms of bigger names in soccer, doesn't the Dash and those kind of teams, don't they have those more so than even the MLS teams?
The Houston Dash have a ton of players playing in this World Cup on Canada, Australia. It's incredible. You can go down there and watch them in the second or third row at BBVA Compass Stadium if you want to on a daily basis. I think overall the marketing of the league from the league's direction, from the club's direction, it does have to, pre-World Cup, I think, measure the fact that you've got these players that are about to be on a world stage and doing amazing things globally coming to your home. So post-World Cup, we'll see if there's an uptick. It all depends on how the U.S. women do. But if, Canada wins a World Cup in Houston or Australia does and there's a Houston Dash player on it, you bet it's going to be great for marketing.
Glenn Davis is our guest. So what game do you have coming up next that you're doing?
So I have Nigeria, Korea tomorrow. Those two teams lost their first game, so it's kind of a must-win for Nigeria and Korea. I've got Japan, who also was involved in a kind of a game that nil-nil draw. That's a team that is a great soccer-playing nation, has won the World Cup. They play Scotland on Friday. So I got Canada though, Fred. I just wanted to let you know that against New Zealand.
Nice. Hey, that don't sleep on Canada, man. That's a dark horse.
Yeah. No. Canada's got a great team. They got one of the all-time great goal scorers in Christine Sinclair. It's a great event. It looks great in France. It's going to get better once we get into the knockout stages, but it's been great so far.
I got to ask you while we've got you about the Dynamo, because looking at the standings, it looks like they're having a successful season. Yet anytime I hear about them, it's complaints about there's not enough people showing up for the games. What do you think is going on with the Dynamo? Is this the attendance concerning? Will it? I mean, is it something that like it could put the franchise at risk at some point? Is that why we keep hearing about it, or is it just an off season for these guys?
Well, listen, the on-field product has been successful this year. There's no doubt the Dynamo have relied on a home schedule. They've had a lot of games front-loaded here. I'm not sure if the league did that because of the weather or how that all turned out. Schedules in MLS are not easy. They're about to go on the road a lot, so this is a big question. The most compelling question around this team from a competitive standpoint is, can Wilmer Cabrera get this team to win on the road? My gut is this is going to be a better road team. They should win four or five games on the road, although they're going to go into the next phase of their schedule without a number of their Honduran internationals who are playing in the Gold Cup and guys that are on international duty. So I think the jury is still out on that, and that is the compelling question. Can this team win on the road? It's definitely an improved product. Now, from a relevancy standpoint, if you're asking me that question, I've told you over years we are not relevant enough in this city. We should be a bigger soccer club in this market. We should be like a Portland. There should be youth coming out to these games like there's no tomorrow. There should be all kinds of people from all these different wonderful ethnic communities that we have going down there to share in the global game of soccer and then support their hometown team, the Houston Dynamo. I'm going to throw it back at you and say, why aren't they more relevant? You tell me, because I don't think I have the answer.
I mean, I don't have an answer. I don't know enough, but I will say, it, based on their on-field success, it seems like there should be more interest if this is going to end up. And everyone says that this is the perfect market for the MLS because we have such a big Latin population. But I also think that a lot of the Latin population is not into MLS. Is that possible?
No, they're not into MLS, but isn't that your job, is to get them interested and to figure out ways creatively and visionary-wise? I think it is. And by the way, you hit the nail on the head. This is an attractive product that's down at BBVA Compass Stadium. I mean, the overall team speed has been jumped up in the last couple of years. You know, you got a striker who's absolute 100% as competitive as any athlete in the city in Albert Elise. And I put that in there with J.J. Watt and whoever else you want to throw in there with the Astros. This guy's as competitive as anybody because he wants to ultimately play in Europe. From a product standpoint, they signed three players that have just made this a better team this year. I've had a blast calling Dynamo games this year because they're entertaining, they're fun to watch, they're slightly chaotic at times, which makes it interesting.
Again, I'm no expert, but I will say this. I think that part of what you just said, you know, there's a guy who wants to play in Europe. In America, if the sport that we're watching isn't the best of the best, it's hard for Americans to really get into it. And soccer is the one sport, really, I mean, the one at least major sport that's relevant at all in the United States, where the best of that sport in the world doesn't get played here. And
well, the only thing I would say to that, AJ, and you're bringing up a good point, and I've heard this one many times before, is that, look, 95% of the professional leagues in the world are not the best of the best. And if you're saying this is exclusive to America, then I can buy your argument. But, you know, if you're not the Premier League, if you're not the Serie A, and maybe not even the Serie A, La Liga in Spain, or the German Bundesliga, you are not the best of the best in the world. Yet, all over the world, there's huge attendances at games. So I guess I can buy that because if you think it's because of an American attitude, on the other hand, I don't buy that. I don't know if we have ever sustained the momentum of acquiring this team when it won titles. We didn't. Let's face it, when we moved to the new stadium, that management of keeping that sustainability and excitement around the Dynamo and vision wasn't there.
Hey,
that's what's got to be reclaimed, and that's how the team can become more relevant.
One more before we let you go, and I'm sure you'll address this on Soccer Matters, but how concerned are you about the U.S. men's team going into the Gold Cup off that effort from the other night?
Can we have a selective memory? Jeez. That was pretty uninspiring. Yes, it's a new manager and all that. I get it, but You know, yes, they're missing Christian Pulisic, who's now going to be at Chelsea and all that, but I don't think it's the way you would want to enter a Gold Cup tournament. Mexico's the favorite. Watch Mexico win it. They got Tata Martino as their coach. He's a guy we didn't even interview. We should have interviewed and made him a part of the process because he's a man that's coached Argentina and Barcelona. He won the MLS in 2 years. There's not a player that's played for him that does not respect and want to play for that guy. He figured out the American system quickly. I'm still shocked we did not interview that man. And now guess what? He's coaching our arch rivals.
All right, that's Glenn Davis, and he's calling the Women's World Cup, and more importantly, you can hear him on Soccer Matters tonight at 7, as a matter of fact. Glenn, appreciate you taking some time, man, and giving the people some soccer knowledge.
Well, I don't know if I did that, but Fred, AJ, thanks as always. Keep up the good word on the Blitz, and I hope the Blitzers aren't going to hunt me down for talking soccer here.
No, we actually had people request you, so there you go. Thanks a lot.
All right, that's good. It's nice to be requested by somebody.
Well, it was Soccer Bilal who always listens to your show, but yeah.
I paid him. Don't worry. I paid him.
All right, Glenn, we'll see you, guys. Man. Okay, I have to tell you about fourhymns.com. And if the soccer conversation made you limp, guess what? We can fix that with fourhymns.com. And it's a one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, sexual wellness for men, you name it. And there's no reason for you to get defrauded by online sketchy marketplaces because this is all on the up and up. 4Hims provides convenient access to U.S. doctors online and real medicine dispensed from American pharmacies. So there's nothing sketchy about this. Sildenafil, the active ingredient in Viagra, can be prescribed for men online and delivered right to their door. It's completely confidential. It's discreet. You don't have to go to the doctor's office and sit there and wait in the waiting room forever and then have to embarrassingly say, hey, man, can you help me out here? You don't have to worry about those long pharmacy lines. You can save hours of your life and get everything done just by going to 4hims.com. And if it's hair loss, too, skincare, you name it, they got it covered at 4hims.com. It doesn't just have to be if you're not as strong as you'd like to be. First month, just $5. They want you to try it out. So for the Blitzers, the first month, it's just $5. We'll get you started for just $5 while supplies last and subject to doctor approval. See website for full details and safety information. This could cost you hundreds if you went to a doctor or a pharmacy. Go to 4hims.com/Fred5. That's the number 5. FORHIMS.com/Fred5. 4hims.com/Fred5. We are the champs. We are the champs.